dispensations. That was kind of a heavy study, but I did bring a few more of the handouts with some of the answers filled in. If anyone wants those, only printed a couple, but that there. All right, so I got to put this on hold. If I don't turn it off. All right, there it is. All right. I was talking to my daughter Lauren last night. You know, Steve's in Passaic this morning, and when Steve asked me if I would cover for him today, you know, I thought, man, this is like the Super Bowl of if you're a preacher. I mean, I'm not a preacher, but for guys, you know, like Brian and Steve, that, I mean, this is the Christmas Sunday right before Christmas, and it's like, you know, it's a real honor. And got my granddaughter, that's always cool. And you know, there's a law, we have to talk about Christmas, the birth story this morning. This is what we're going to talk about. So, all right, so let's kick it off. Yes. That's cool. That's pretty neat. Let me move Mr. Reindeer here so everybody can see. Everybody can see the slide deck okay? And you may notice we do have a Christmas miracle right in front of you. My handout is one page. You know, I'm known for the 6, 7, 8 page handouts. Yeah, it's not even the back. It's like the front. So it's a Christmas miracle right out of the gate. However, I've got like 200 slides. No, I don't have that many. But yeah, we're going to talk about the Christmas story today. And, you know, I work in a movie theater. Movie stuff, and I'm around movie jargon all day long at work, and I hear about all this stuff, and a lot of times when I'm reading stories in the Bible, I always kind of think movie, like if it was a movie. So if the Christmas story was a movie, so that's kind of the route I started going on this. I thought if it was a movie, that it's truly a movie that God chooses the cast, like with all stories in the Bible. And everyone has a part in the Christmas story. And so what we're going to talk about today are the cast of characters of the Christmas crew, which is on the handout. I even stuck Steve-O's. I use that thing heavy. I made that like 5 years ago, and every Christmas I dust it off. But the Christmas story, you know, like I say, is the law. We got to talk about it today, and we really don't talk about it much outside of Christmas, which is unfortunate because it is such a miraculous story. I mean, the night Jesus was born was, you know, of course, a miracle, but the possibly bigger miracle was 6 or 9 months prior, whenever she became pregnant. But we're going to focus on the night of.
Kevin Costner had something on last night that I got to watch for a while. I didn't watch it to the end, but I watched it till the baby was born. And he was bringing out some things about the fact that they walked, is what he said.
No donkey. They didn't have a donkey. Yeah. They were too poor.
It was interesting.
Well, that's cool. You don't hear that kind of stuff very often. You know, like he was born in September. Miles. Yeah, well, that's in my slide deck.
Well, then they had to get home.
Yeah, they did. Then they had to go to Egypt.
So where did Jesus get circumcised? I always thought it was at the temple.
At the temple. Probably, it was 8 days later. Maybe they were in Jerusalem by then. Jerusalem's only a few miles north.
Yeah, but her days of purification hadn't happened.
No, it's only 8 days later. She would have been on the road.
Yeah,
so,
70 miles.
Yeah.
Well, think about it.
It is cool. I mean, that brings up a point that we'll kind of get into is Christmas is one of those stories that there's just a ton of misinformation. It's not really harmful, but it's just kind of misinformation that it's good to be aware of. Anyway, what was I talking about? Let me move on here. Whoops. All right, so what I thought I'd do, okay, whenever I was thinking about this, you know, sometimes you'll see a movie, I can't really think of any offhand, but where it'll cover the different characters, and you learn about each one, And then some event happens when they're all together and this thing happens. You know, so it's kind of the way I was going to approach it today, because each one of the characters in the Christmas story, and we're only going to cover nine. I chose nine because, does anyone know what nine means in the Bible? What the number nine symbolizes?
Fruit bearing.
Yes. And it was Christ, 9 months. I thought, well, it just all mess. So I just chose nine. So I've got nine characters on this handout. Each one of these characters, you know, has a backstory, has motivations, why they did what they did, and most importantly, the lessons we can learn from these characters. So that's kind of what we're going to do today. And I thought first it might be easier, instead of hopping all over reading the story, is to just read the story, and then we'll go through the characters. So we have quite a bit of reading, and these are the three places, the three kind of main passages that cover the Christmas story. It's only in Luke and Matthew. There's reasons why John and Mark don't contain the Christmas story, but that'd be for another thing. So let's divide up some verses, if that's cool. Luke 1:26-38 is pretty long. That's kind of the classic Christmas story. Let me flip over there. 26-38. You know, actually, let's do it in order. Let's start with Luke 2:1. And we'll just go through I'm just looking here, making a last minute adjustments. Let's do Luke 2:1-20. Let's do that middle one first. Now, those are 20 verses. Does anybody want to read the whole thing?
I'll read it.
Pat, man, good deal. Thanks, Pat.
And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made at Cyrenius, when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these sayings and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them.
Yes, very good. Thanks, Pat. That's good. That's the classic story. We all know and love it. The second one is in Matthew 1, 18 through 25. Would anybody care to read that? All right, Lauren.
Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus.
Very good. All right, thanks. All right, awesome. All right, so that's, we'll just kind of quit there. We'll read some more as we get going. That's the story. Full of characters, so let's get into some of these and pull some lessons out of each one. The first one I wanted to cover is Caesar Augustus. And I put a red line under him because that is the blank on your handout. I also put this little candy cane here, so then that'll remind me that this is a handout answer. So Caesar Augustus, he's the first guy that we're going to run into. That he's the guy... like I say, he's the son of Julius Caesar. I've studied the Roman Empire a few times over the years, and it's just really fascinating. But Julius Caesar was kind of the first Caesar. Caesar is just a title, like king. This is his son. You know, Julius Caesar was assassinated. His son Augustus is trying to expand the kingdom, and part of that is he wanted to do a census, like how many people do we have here in the kingdom. So that's what prompted Joseph and Mary leaving Nazareth and going 70 or so miles south to Bethlehem, as that's where they were from. He's the first official emperor. I mean, this guy had a big head, of course, like all these emperors. They had a god complex. He called himself the son of God. He was the savior of the Roman people. He's the guy that appointed Herod to be the leader over Judea. Because remember, at the time when Jesus was born, Israel was under Roman occupation. The Roman government was in charge of the Jewish folks. And they had appointed Herod, which we'll get to him in a little bit, because he's got his own funny things. August is named after this guy. He's the guy, I don't know if you've heard of the Pax Romana. There's some awesome books that talk about the Pax Romana. And just what I think is interesting with this guy, the reason he's on this slide is because, and I've said this before in teaching other things, that the Pax Romana condition, the peace of Rome, because Rome is under such peace, the gospel was able to spread like wildfire. In Paul in the first century, the Roman roads were safe to travel. Everyone had the same language, currency. I mean, just on and on. The conditions of that area, because of the Pax Romana, allowed for the spreading of the gospel, which was directly because of this guy, Caesar Augustus. So, in a way, we're thankful for him, but, you know, he was a narcissist, big-headed dude, but he's the one that kind of started the spread of the gospel. He died a few years after Romans named him a god, but that's kind of one of the first guys we run across, Caesar, and there's obviously some lessons we can learn from him. So next slide, Christmas takeaways. you know, he thought he was exercising his own will, but he was really being used by God. And it's the same, you know, we know this, the same with our leaders today, you know, Trump and Netanyahu and all these guys, Putin. They all think they're doing their will, and even sometimes us. Sometimes I think I'm doing what I want, what Jim wants, but really God is doing something bigger that I'm just an instrument of, and or Trump or anybody else. And it always reminds me of this verse in Proverbs that the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and he kind of directs people to do his will. So even though he was not a willing participant in the spread of the gospel, or the birth of Christ, God used him. I just think that's interesting. And that reminds me of that verse in 2 Timothy, that little passage that talks about how we're all vessels of honor or dishonor. God will use both to accomplish his plan. And you know, we obviously want to be a vessel of honor here. So that's kind of what I take away from Caesar. All right, the next guy, or girl, I guess, would be Mary. Got to talk about Mary. And Mary, there's volumes of books about her, and I'm not going to go into a lot of detail on any of this. I'm just going to kind of keep it light today. But and that's the next blank, the red line there on your handout. It's Mary. She's the courageous consent. And it's good to remember, she was a young girl. I mean, they married off 13 to 16 years old back then. Probably an arranged marriage. Most of them were back then. Interestingly enough, though, she is from the tribe of Judah, and she's from the lineage of David. And this is just a little chart I put together a long time ago. And we're going to get to Joseph in a second. But Joseph and Mary both were in the lineage of David, which is interesting. It fulfills Scripture. Joseph is through Solomon, the kingly line. Joseph would have been the king in Israel if all the events didn't happen. And Mary as well was from David's lineage. So that's kind of interesting. So God chose him. Because it makes you wonder, like, you know, whenever he chose Mary, and Mary said yes, we know that. But I wonder if there were other girls that he would have chosen or... Yeah, I just sometimes I think of that. Why were there other Joseph and Marys that said no that we don't even know about? I don't know. Sometimes I think about things like that. But all right, so she was a very young girl, so it makes the feats that she did even more, you know, inspiring. From the tribe of Judah, lineage of David, she was the cousin of Elizabeth. We know that story with Elizabeth and Zacharias. Mother John the Baptist. I just threw this in. I wasn't sure if Pam knows this, but we talked about it before class. But John the Baptist was born around Passover in April, where Jesus was born around the Feast of Tabernacles in September. We celebrate in December, and there's reasons for that. I won't get into all that, but it's a cool little study. Luke, we know Luke, the Gospel of Luke, he was the detailed-oriented guy that his books are just full of historical markers, so you can really trace things around. And in the first chapter of Luke, when he talks about Zechariah in the temple during, on the course of Abia, and then the descriptions of when the angels came to Mary and Elizabeth, it's pretty easy to piece together that John the Baptist was born in April, Jesus came in September. So, any thoughts on that? Yes.
I have a thought.
Yes.
I think, in my opinion, but it's just opinion.
Yes.
That God chose Mary from the moment of conception.
Yeah.
That was good because God was so quiet.
Yep.
You know, that's the way I think.
No, I agree. He knew her heart.
Yes.
I mean, God knows all of us.
Well, I think that He planned it for her to be born, to be born.
Yeah.
You know, so that she could. That's what I think.
Yeah, I agree. And then, and to add on that, I think it's unfortunate. It reminds me of the spiritual gifts, the topic of that. Some folks, some religions put so much emphasis on Mary that I think sometimes we'll back away and not really talk about her a lot because we don't want to, you know, we don't hold in some of those other doctrines, but we know she had other kids. The Bible tells us that. We know she was just a great young girl that was very obedient. Lots we can learn from her.
So she had other kids. I mean, there's people that have Jesus' DNA in them. Or did he have DNA? I wonder.
Well, his father was God. He wouldn't have had. I don't know all that science stuff. But his mother, she was human. He had flesh.
Not according to Catholics.
She was immaculate. Well, that's what I mean. I totally don't want to go there. But yeah, that's the Immaculate Conception.
Well, that's what part of the plan thing that I was talking about.
Yeah, it's just amazing. So. And something we read, I don't know if Pat, I think Pat read it. God told Mary seven things when the Holy Spirit showed up to her. And these are the seven things he told her. Don't be afraid. God's happy with you. You know, you have found favor with God. God's happy with you. You're going to be having a baby. Name him Jesus. He's going to be great. He's God's son. He's going to be the promised king. His kingdom is never going to end. And after God says that, she doesn't really ask any questions. She just says, well, I don't know a man. How's that going to happen? She wasn't questioning that it will happen. So then the angel said, don't worry about it. God's going to make it happen. So just awesome faith on her part, courageous consent. That's why I named it on there. She just said, okay, this sounds good. And you got to remember, too, her and Joseph, they were Jews, practicing Jews. They were just people. They all knew all about the Messiah coming. You know, so whenever the angel told Mary, you're going to have this God's son, she knew who that was. You know, she knew Isaiah. She knew all the passages. There's hundreds of prophecies about Jesus. And she knew who they were, which kind of brings me to this slide. There's a few Christmas songs that I'm not really fond of. This is one of them. The other one is Christmas Shoes. You guys ever heard that?
Yeah.
Man, if that comes on, I'm flipping that station. This one ain't as bad, but the song is trying to evoke, you know, feelings, and I understand that. But whenever the song talks about Mary, did you know, a lot of the things in that song, she did know. And it's pretty obvious, you know, that Mary actually sings the song. It's called the Magnificat. It's in Luke 1:46 through 56 here. We weren't going to read it. But basically, Mary praises the Lord after the angel visits her. And in this song, she's kind of acknowledging that she realizes she's having the Messiah. You know, so she knew a lot more than what the song wants to tell us. I'm sure she didn't know some of the details. But anyway, I think it's interesting. Mary's song is very similar to Hannah's song back in Samuel, whenever the angel comes to both of them and says, you're going to have, you know, a child and he's going to be special. So it's a pretty neat parallel. So Mary, did you know? Yes, she did know a lot of it. Just a few takeaways from Mary. It did cost her her comfort, her obedience. I mean, I'm sure she was whispered about, and people are probably unfriending her on Facebook when she turns up pregnant and things like that. But our obedience to God does cause, it costs us comfort. You know, you guys know, we're all home folk, we're believers. It's hard being a Christian sometimes. It does cost us. Not near like her friends in India, but it is. Now, we can trust God even if we have questions. I'm sure she had questions. They're not recorded. She just said yes. Praising God during the personal confusion. Her and Joseph both, they've got to be very confused with what's going on right now, but they were still praising God. That song that she sang in Luke 1 is really neat. I wasn't sure how to word this. I struggled with it, but... It says in these stories we've read, it says about four times that she just pondered. She put this to her heart. And I respect that. I like that because I feel like I do that a lot of times. And hopefully you do too, that when things happen in our lives, we don't really necessarily react. We just tuck them away and ponder. The Bible uses the word ponder or put it to her heart. So responding to perplexity in our lives with meditation, with pondering.
Yeah, it didn't say that she doubted.
No, not doubted.
She knew about it. She just, but she had that human, you know,
yeah.
This is miraculous. How can that be?
Yeah.
like you said.
Yeah, it happened again at the temple whenever she sees him teaching as a 12-year-old. And it's like she is pondering, puts it away for later. I think that's a good practice we ought to all do, responding with perplexing with pondering. All right, next on the list is old Joseph. That's the next blank. Silent obedience. This guy is also interesting. Actually, what you know, Brian did a whole message on Joseph one time, like 10 years ago, and I've always remembered it. It was awesome. Joseph is overlooked. He's often overlooked. He was a shade older. Remember, he was also from the lineage of David. There's no words recorded that he ever says, which is interesting. We don't hear anything from him. Now, he's still around when Jesus is around 12-ish, like I mentioned in the temple. But other than that, we don't really hear anything from Joseph. So we're not sure what happened to him. He was betrothed to Mary. And like I said, it was probably an arranged marriage. Most of these Eastern, Mid-Eastern cultures do that. Which takes about a year to come to fruition. And you know, we know the story. She gets pregnant during this betrothal period. So Joseph has three choices here. He can expose Mary publicly, and that's actually outlined in Deuteronomy 22 that if a girl comes up pregnant during this betrothal, you know, she could be stoned. I mean, that's serious. He could have publicly put her to shame. Or he could have privately put her away. He just could have went to her parents and said, "Hey, I ain't marrying this girl. You can have her back." He didn't do that either. But it kind of is the indication that he was thinking of these, because it said while he thought on these, the angel came to him. So I think that's cool. It's natural. I would be too. So but we know the story. He ends up marrying her a little later on. All right. So a couple things on Joseph. It's interesting. God actually speaks to him four times in dreams, and we read a couple of them here. You know, take Mary as your wife, name him Jesus. Later, the dream says, take your family to Egypt. Now you can go back to Israel, but don't go to Judah. Go to Galilee, because Herod's going to try to kill you. All right, what's interesting with these dreams when you read them, and this is true of all dreams in the Bible. So this is what you can use when your coworker at work tells you that God came to him in a dream. All the dreams in the Bible quote scripture, quote a prophecy. They have something to validate that this dream is of God. Same with these. Whenever the God comes to Joseph, scripture's quoted, you know, scripture from the Old Testament to back up what this is. So I think that's cool. I've known people that tell me, God, you know, I dreamed this, and it's like, wow, it's not in the Bible. So anyway, that's a good marker. Second thing, this is kind of my main key with Joseph. In our Bible, you know, we have a lot of role models that are obedient to God. And obedience to God, and I didn't know how to word this, but it has three marks or measures that God uses to determine, is someone being obedient? Are we being obedient to God? There are three things. First, that we immediately do what God is wanting us to do. So obedience must be immediate. It should be complete. Am I completely doing what God wants me to do? And am I doing it with the right heart motive? If a person has, if you have these three, then you are being obedient to God. If you're missing one, then you're really not. Because there are people in the Old Testament like Saul and some of these other guys that were two out of three. Two out of three is bad. You need to be three out of three. I struggle with the heart motive, to be honest. A lot of times I'll kind of start something begrudgingly. I know I should do it. I need to do this. Don't want to, you know, so I gotta, you know, check yourself on that. So, and I have to check myself a lot just to make sure I'm doing things with the right motive. But Joseph did have these things, so he did do it with the right motive. He had the marks of obedience. So that's why we call him the silent, obedient guy. He was a great example. I mean, God chose him to raise his son, and that's just, you know, it's hard to get your head around. Same with Mary, that God chose Mary to, like, take care of his son. That's really neat. So, Moving along. Christmas takeaways. This is true with a lot of people in the Bible. You know, Joseph was a godly man and just and honored God way before that night, you know, when we are introduced to him. He was living a life of obedience before. It just revealed his character that night when Jesus was born. And another thing, when you know his plans were interrupted, of course, he was betrothed to his high school sweetheart. Now she's pregnant, so his plans are definitely interrupted. And it happens to us too, just like this guy with the ticket. His plans were interrupted this morning, and I've gotten better over the years. I used to not be good at it at all, but whenever something happens, if I get a flat or whatever, a wreck on the way up 71, there's a reason this is happening to me. Or if I'm, you know, anything in life, those are trivial things, but there's reasons things happen to us. And I usually see later that it was God, you know, repositioning something to bless me or give me in a better position or purpose. And that's what Joseph, that's the way he looked at it. And I think that's something we can learn from him. And the same as Mary, he didn't fully understand what was going on. He just trusted God. So that's a good lesson. Just full trust. So, all right, moving on. Bethlehem is actually a character. Didn't know if you knew this, but the word Bethlehem is the house of bread. It's a small town south of Jerusalem a little bit. It's only about 1,000 people. It'd be like Archie. Not really big. Kind of insignificant. Rich history in the Old Testament. A lot of stuff went on in Bethlehem. Not going to go through all of it, but like the Bible pointed out in some of these verses, David was from Bethlehem. On a map, this is not the best map I could find, but Bethlehem here is kind of in the hill country. You know, we think of Israel as desert and dry and all that kind of stuff, but around Bethlehem is actually very fertile on the side of this mountain. This is where they grew a lot of the wheat and barley. That's why it's called House of Bread, because they actually made a lot of bread there. That's why the sheep or shepherds were out here in the hill country, because the harvest was in like August, July and August, so they let the sheep take over the field for a few months to eat, and then plus they fertilized the field, so that's another reason we know it was in September, because in December the rains start. But anyway, it's in the hill country. We all know this verse. It's on all the Christmas cards. This is where Bethlehem is actually predicted, prophesied to be where Jesus is born. Now, Bethlehem Ephratah, I don't know if you ever thought about it, but there's actually two Bethlehems in Israel. And when Micah gives Ephratah, that's the one down in Judea. That's why that word's there. Sometimes they'll leave it off of the Christmas cards, but prophecy. Now, this is, I think it's funny too to think about. I'm sure, you know, Bethlehem, they knew this prophecy. So it was probably in their Chamber of Commerce literature that we're going to be the birthplace of the Messiah. They all knew it. But I think it's cool. So, and that's where God did it. Small and ordinary city, insignificant. God worked there that night. And then I just think, you know, there's small and insignificant things in our lives that we don't really pay much attention to that God wants to do a work in. So just like Bethlehem, it's that. All right, next, the innkeeper. You know, this is the dirty dog of the story. You know, everybody's on this guy or girl. We don't know who it was. You know, Joseph and Mary show up at the inn, and he's like, "Ah, there's no room." Okay, this is what I think about these guys, or this guy or gal. You know, Christmas is a busy, busy time. We're all, me and Pam were talking about before class, we're all like full throttle right now. Busy, a lot going on. The innkeeper turned them away. I think there's probably reasons. I think they were in. I don't think they rolled into Bethlehem that night. I think they were actually there ahead of time. But the innkeeper didn't have room for them. So the lesson we get from him or her is that it's the sin of omission. It's what they didn't do. You know, they didn't make room for Jesus that night. So, you know, I just think, are we too busy? Are we too full? We're too distracted. And this is me. I get really distracted with my job and my phone and this and that. Where whenever I'm presented an option to make room for Jesus, I don't do it. Instead of doing the presidential suite, you know, it may offer a tool shed out back or something. This is kind of what the innkeeper did. He probably could have made room if he, especially if he knew, but he wasn't in tune enough with what was going on. Yeah.
If he had made room, the story would have been changed,
yes. But he was never prophesied to be born in a manger. But I know what you mean. By being in a manger, then it completes the whole bread, the shepherds, it completes the picture.
Yeah.
So yeah, it could be that God didn't want him there.
You know, God, like, the inn was totally full.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I mean, I can't help but think that God's hand was on that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think it was...
Everything was exactly as it should have been.
Yeah, I agree.
That was because of Caesar's forcing them all to go back to their homeland.
Yeah, it's true.
Everyone had to go there. And
everybody's staying there.
They forced all the rooms.
That's how God got them to Bethlehem.
Yep.
It's the forced tax.
Yep. Which, yeah. I think digital ID is the same thing. Forcing the world to be taxed.
Yeah.
We're there.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, these are all. That's what's cool when you ponder these stories. I mean, God was like doing things. I mean, yeah, he didn't want him born there. It would have thrown things off. But for us, you know, we can kind of. It's what they didn't do. All right. So the next is the shepherds, and this is really cool. And actually, I found a very cool video that kind of shows the whole shepherd thing. That I was going to show it because I think it's really neat. Let me go down here. I got all queued up down here. This is actually, it's the Chosen people made this. I'm not a real big fan of the Chosen, but this particular little clip is really cool, you know. And I told Sherry that I get a little teary-eyed when I watch this sometimes. It's really cool. And this is basically reenacting the shepherds and finding Jesus. One of the shepherds had actually, earlier in the story, had actually met Joseph and Mary and given them a drink of water. So Joseph and Mary knew the shepherd. So let's see if I can get it. Oh no, they're not going to. Hopefully the sound will. It was working earlier. But it worked earlier. Yeah, maybe let me restart it. Yeah, it's a neat little video. Let's see if I can find it now. There's a problem with your sound file. I don't need Steve here to help me. I'll try one more time. All right, let me try it. I got it on my Dropbox account. Maybe I can play it on that. I'm doing this. Has anybody got any fun like Christmas traditions you're going to do this week? Anybody going anywhere really cool or going to Hawaii?
We were going to ask for prayers because my sister-in-law, oldest sister, she flew from Guatemala on Thursday to Houston, so they are there with our parents, and they are coming here on Christmas Eve.
Oh, cool!
So they're going to spend Christmas with us, and then we're going to celebrate. Then we're going for New Year's Eve down there.
Oh, that'll be fun.
So it's going to be a busy, full house for a week.
Yeah.
But happy, everybody's going to be happy.
Yep. Yeah, it's a week of parties. Boy, that just ain't gonna work. Darn, boy, that was a really cool video.
We plan to be here with all the family on the candlelight service.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I've always wanted to go to that.
I wondered if we'd get to meet them.
Yeah, they're gonna come.
That's good.
We're gonna come. We're glad.
Yeah.
Try one more thing. Copyright off.
So keep her in your mind, your prayers for them to be driving on Christmas Eve, and then we are going to be driving the next week.
Yeah. Well, that'll be fun. Did Amita get back?
She came back on Thursday.
Okay, good. Yeah, I was wondering about her the other day. Hopefully she had a good time.
Amy was sick on Friday. After school, they took her with an ambulance to the, I don't know if it was to the ER or not. She was having a...
Huh.
At the end, they did all the tests, and they found out it was only flu. It was nothing bad. I mean, nothing really bad.
Huh.
So she was having, like, chest pain and fever, and so they were...
Wow, Amy.
Yeah.
She's so young and healthy. Did they determine anything?
Yeah, they found everything. It was just flu and
okay.
Taking care of the...
Well, our granddaughter went by ambulance because they were having a class party, and she... took one bite of a cookie.
Oh, yeah.
And she's allergic to nuts.
Oh.
And her throat started closing off. Cassie's youngest sister.
Oh, gosh.
And she was up at the hospital getting jabbed with an EpiPen. That she has one, but it was at home, not at school.
Dang.
And just never thought that a cookie didn't say anything except macadamia nuts were in it.
Yeah. Well, I've skipped the video. It ain't cooperating, which is cool. Plus, I would probably start crying anyway. It is really neat. All right, so the shepherds. Let's talk about the shepherds. These guys, the shepherds at this time, you know, they were kind of the outcasts, the insignificant, overlooked, misunderstood. You know, they worked nights like Chris Mann, so they weren't able to participate in temple things. They were looked down on for that, but so the shepherds, they, you know, they had a rough go. They were looked down on. We think they were village shepherds because, you know, like I said, Bethlehem is just 5 or 6 miles south of Jerusalem. You know, in Jerusalem, the temple's doing multiple sacrifices per day of sheep, and then plus any other animal is, you know, per Levitical law. So they needed animals. So it's believed that Bethlehem played a part in supplying with animals for sacrifice. And that's where our shepherds come in. And, you know, so these guys are just at work one night, working the night shift, like Chris back here. And they have this interruption, you know, where the angels show up to them and basically announce the birth of Jesus is going on in Bethlehem. So they drop their staffs and they run into town. They leave the sheep and all, and they just, you know, go find Jesus. It was a small town, be like Archie. There's probably not that many ladies having a baby at any particular night in Archie, so I think they found him pretty easy. They run in and they actually get to see Jesus. So what I think about these guys is how, you know, they're just at work. Just, you know, a lot of times I'm at work, all of us are at work, we're going about our daily lives, and there's some type of interruption. And sometimes we recognize it and sometimes we don't. You know, and these guys did, fortunately. And they also had this complete immediate obedience that Joseph had. They dropped their staffs, they run into town, they find Jesus, they find the little baby, and then they immediately want to go out and share. You know, everybody needs to know about this. So which is another lesson for us with the takeaways is that, you know, we have found Jesus in this room, and so, you know, we're encouraged to go out and share. And like the shepherds, you know, a lot of times we feel insignificant. I mean, so many times I feel like a failure in life. You know, I get down about things. All of us get down. We compare ourselves to other people way too much. God doesn't want us doing that. But sometimes we'll feel insignificant, overlooked, misunderstood, just like these shepherds. But God had a plan for these guys. He's got a plan for each one of us. Fortunately, these guys were sensitive to God's spirit, and they acted. That's why I call them the first IGO team. Because really, this is the first time that they seen Jesus and they went out to tell others. Yeah, I see you guys fan. Are you guys getting hot? I cranked this up this morning because when I get here, it's usually pretty chilly. I'll just turn it back down. All right, so that's the shepherds. King Herod. This is another interesting guy. I studied this guy out one time. He's quite the character. And actually has the end times, you know, that we've talked about in Revelation, the end times hook. He is our old fence straddler. And this is on your handout, King Herod. The fence straddler. Herod, there's a couple Herods in our Bible, in the Gospels. It's also a title, like King, Caesar, Herod, President. It's a title. It means exalted one. He's appointed by Rome. You know, I mentioned Augustus. This guy's really paranoid, and for good reason. I don't have time to go into him too much, but whenever he took office, Herod, there was a lot of turmoil in Judea, and Herod's a people pleaser, and he was trying to please the Jews. So he did a lot of the, he's the one that rebuilt the temple. We talk about, you know, Herod's temple, like where Jesus was at. The Wailing Wall, where we see the Jews doing, you know, that thing there. He did that. He built a lot of seaports, gymnasiums. I mean, he did all these things to try to appease the Jews. He ends up killing their firstborn under 2 years old, so that probably canceled that out. But he was a very paranoid ruler, people pleaser. He was scared of the Parthians. This is a historical fact. When he took office, Parthia is like Babylon, it's the Babylon area. And there was a big contingent of Jews living in Babylon-ish area, you remember, from back in the exile. When they were all, you know, Ezekiel, Daniel, and all those guys. There's still a lot of Jews living here. So when Herod first took office, the Parthians were always coming in. And actually, Herod had to run to Rome for a while in exile because they were, like, chasing him out of town. So he's scared of the Parthians. And he ends up having a son, Herod Antipas. He's the guy that beheaded John the Baptist, you know, a few chapters on. Herod ended up dying a few years after he had the babies killed. So, let's talk about Herod for a second. This is Herod. This guy's a mess. Ethnically, he was an Edomite. And if you know your Bible, that's the kin of Esau. That's the lifelong enemies of Israel that are going to have a part in the end times. And we've talked about Petra, the state of Petra, and Steve has in Revelation. That's these guys. Herod was actually an Edomite. So the fact that he wanted to kill the babies two and under, not really a surprise. I mean, he's getting that idea from his people. Religiously, he was a Jew. He acted like a Jew. He was a lip service Jew. But he wasn't. Culturally, he was Greek. At this time, all the cool kids were Greek. Spoke Greek, dressed Greek, Greek names. And politically, he was part of the Roman administration. So he's kind of a mess. He's trying to please everybody. He's ended up pleasing nobody. And that's why I call him the fence straddler. He is an example of how to not live your life. He was prideful, fearful. He had the fruit of insecurity in his life. You know, we all know people that are insecure. They're going to have these qualities in them, trying to please everybody, trying to be all things to all people. That was Herod. But the most importantly is he missed the message. Remember when the Magi, the wise men, came, they told him, "There's the king of the Jews has been born in your land." Well, he missed it. And ends up... we don't have time to read the story right now, but he ends up telling the wise man, you know, you guys go find him and let me know where he's at so I can worship him too. So that's kind of takeaway from Herod. Fence straddler, missed the message. Next is the wise man. That's the next blank. I think we're almost done. I got a few minutes to wrap up here. Now, these are the Christmas cards that we see. I just went on the internet and pulled Christmas cards. Why? You know, even Christmas hymns, "We Three Kings of Orient Are." I mean, we always hear about three kings from the Orient. You know, it's three kings, three kings, three kings. Nowhere is it said there's three kings. That's a thing like being born in December. It just ain't true. And also, the kings, we don't have time to read the story, the kings, the wise men, show up when Jesus is like two. It's nothing to do with the manger or that night. They come later. So, and they come bring gifts. And this is like a Renaissance picture that I'd seen one time. This is probably more accurate of these wise men. I don't know about three of them, but there was a bunch of them. It was a contingent. And they probably had they had all this gold, because we know the gifts they brought, very expensive gifts, frankincense, myrrh, and gold. So they probably had an armed guard, and they probably had like SEAL Team 6, I stuck them up there, to help guard this stuff. So when these guys come rolling in talking to Herod, the verse, there's a verse in there that actually says, Herod was disturbed and all Jerusalem with him. Everyone was afraid of these guys. They thought the Parthians were back. So I think that's a little neat nugget. So then, who are these guys? All Jerusalem's troubled. Yeah, there it is, Matthew 2:3. And it's interesting, you've probably heard this. I've heard many messages on this. If you go back to Daniel, Daniel in Babylon is made king of the magicians, the wise men, the astrologers. So these guys are probably descendants of Daniel's teachings. They at least know enough to be on the lookout for God's star. And because of the weeks of Daniel that Steve's talked about many times in Revelation, these guys knew within a year or two when Jesus would be born, based on Daniel's weeks, you know, the 70 weeks. So I think that's interesting. So these guys are probably teaching of Daniel, coming out of the Babylon area, knowing when to show up. It was 900 miles away. This is actually a slide I used in Mighty Warriors a few weeks ago. Babylon to Jerusalem would have been about a four-month walk that they're following this star. Some takeaways I have. So some things, obviously, they knew the scriptures, they believed God's promises, they followed the light that God gave them, which is a good lesson for us. Sometimes we don't know what we should be doing in life. We hear this a lot from new believers. Just follow the light that God has given you. You know, read your Bible, go to church, pray. Just do that. And then as you do that, He'll give you more revelation, which is kind of what He did with these guys. Another interesting fact, God always moves in our Bible east to west. Anytime you're reading about some character going east to west, that's a good thing. Where on the other hand, if you read about anybody going too east, that's always a sign of rebellion. They're running from God. And there's a few examples of these guys that went east. So we know right away they're going the right direction. They're from the east. All right. Takeaways. So which way are we heading? These guys were going the right way, going east, following the light gave them, looking forward to His coming, and they're bringing very expensive gifts. So think about the gifts you're bringing. I've got that. Wise man, I'm going to cook along here. All right, lastly, but not least, now this is a really cool one. I don't have much time to get into these, but Simeon and Anna. I've only got 5 minutes, but this is a cool little passage. I'm going to read it real quick. All right, I'm going to read 21 through 38. All right. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and offer a sacrifice. And she brings 2 turtle doves. So that also signifies how poor they were, because that was the lowest form. All right, so here's our story. It starts in verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do after him the custom of law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for my eyes have seen salvation. So Simeon, devout guy, God has told him, you're not going to die till you see the Christ. The guy's probably walking around Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit nudges him. He goes into the temple, sees Joseph and Mary. There it is. There he is. He sees him. That's Simeon. Now, Anna is down a few verses, verse 36. I'm in Luke 2. And there was one Anna, a prophetess. which there's a couple of them in the Bible. Can't be scared of them. There was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. She was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise to the Lord and spake of him to all that looked upon for redemption in Jerusalem. All right, here's two people. They don't seem to know each other. He was probably out in the courtyard walking around. The Holy Spirit tells him to go into the temple. Here's Anna. She's serving in the temple, and she sees the baby Jesus and immediately knows who they are. Simeon was being responsive to the Holy Spirit. Anna, it's interesting how she says she was 84 years old. She had been a widow. She's only married for 7 years. I don't know if she had kids. But she's kind of lived a life of sorrow, and she's chose to turn her grief into service to God, which I think is really neat. Both of them are patiently waiting on God's promises. They see him come in. There's some takeaways. They're faithfully waiting a lifetime to see him. They didn't just see Jesus. They got to hold him. I think that's cool. And that's the way we should be. We don't just need to know about Jesus or see Jesus working. We need to hold him. We need to have him. Have him in our heart. Christmas time, it can be hard, just like Anna. She lived a life hard, but Christmas is hard for a lot of folks. After my dad died, it was hard for a few years. But focus on the larger redemption story. And the Christmas story is not just about a baby being born in Bethlehem, but you know, God coming to redeem his people. People that refuse to give up on the promise. So I think those two, I don't have time to go into them more, but they're really pretty neat characters to study out. So there's our handout, all filled out. All these people had a part in the Christmas story. Miraculous. A lot of life lessons, tons of lessons in there for us. So think of that this week while we're celebrating, eating our turkey and all that kind of stuff. So that's about it. And we are due. So don't forget, after church, meet us in the common ground. We're going to put them bags together. Hope everyone has a great Christmas. Hopefully I'll see you after church. So I don't even care to dismiss us. I've been talking a while. I'm tired of talking. I don't even care to dismiss us in prayer.
Sure, yes. Heavenly Father, thank you for being here with us today and having our heart open for this Christmas coming, and in because your son was born, and that's what we gotta celebrate. And thanks for everything you did today to Jim to teach us these important things, and let us have a good rest of our morning and be safe. Let us be go back safe to everyone to their homes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Very good. All right. Good deal.